Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Today's scripture is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1. It's going in and out, Chris. We okay now? Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, we have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we now have a restored relationship with God. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of the word. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen, amen. Well, good morning, church. Welcome to our fifth Sunday service. This is the second one for 2022. Welcome to those online. If you take a minute and pull out your lesson plan inside your bulletin, you may find that to be useful. If you're listening online, you can get that off our website if you don't have one. On the flip side of that is the next six-day challenge. We are starting the book of chapter 5 of Romans. We are in a message series titled Romans, I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel. And as I shared with you many times as we led into chapter 5, the chapters 5 through 8 are the most impactful, at least for me, chapters of Romans that there are. And we will spend a great deal of time going through those. I could do a whole message series just on the very first verse, Romans 5:1-1 today. But it's powerful. So this next six-day challenge will take you through verses 1 through 11 all week as it relates to our message today. But on the flip side of that is our lesson plan. And the title of the lesson plan is Four Crucial Questions We Must Understand. So that's what we're going to dive into this morning. I just want to, again, welcome TUMC and the leadership from their team, their congregation here for joining us this morning, those who are with us online and those who are traveling or those who are listening to the message afterwards, we're glad you're with us. And it's a joyous day. We are going to dive into this message this morning. And as we do, there's four crucial questions that we're going to unpack. And as kingdom people, as people trying to live Jesus-centered lives, I can't tell you how important this is. This is where a lot of Christians struggle in the world. This is where a lot of disconnect happens with the secular world and Christianity. And we're going to dive into that today. And we're going to ask these big questions. And so here's the four questions we're going to look at today. Number one is, are you saved? Are you saved? Is a fair question to ask. The second question is, how do you know for sure you're saved? Just because you say you're saved, how do you know for sure? How can we know for sure that we're saved? And if we're satisfied with our answers to the first two questions, then question three is, for what purpose were you saved? It's really important to get this. And then lastly, how do you live a Jesus-centered life? And that's what we're going to dive into today. So I hope you lean into today's message. I hope it presses you a little bit. I hope it challenges you, but I also hope it gives you a lot of hope in your faith and helps you better have a firm understanding of what it means to live a Jesus-centered life and what it means to have salvation, not just, you know, in eternity, but here on earth. So our first question we're going to dive into is, are you saved? And this first verse is so meaningful. Therefore, and anytime you see the word therefore, it's referring to what we just went through, which is the first four chapters of Romans that set us up for this very chapter that we're in right now. Therefore, since we've established that everybody has a right to know God, everybody, Jews, Gentiles, Greeks, everybody is saved. Everybody has a chance to know God, walk with God, be with God. And that's what the first four chapters in Romans set us up to understand that. But now, so therefore, since we have been made righteous, and we spent four chapters unpacking what that means, which refers to Genesis 15:6, which is talking about the righteousness that came to Abraham, through God's faithfulness, which is really important, I think, to understand, is God, is this gift to even believe, even to have faith at all, is a gift from God. John Wesley would call that prevenient grace, that God's been pursuing us since the day we were born, engaging us through the power of the Holy Spirit to have a relationship. But we have free will, we have say-so, if we're going to live into that or not live into that, and we have that for the rest of our lives. And just because we did it yesterday doesn't mean we'll do it tomorrow. So we always have say-so in our faith journey. Through his faithfulness, whose? God's faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is all possible because of Jesus. That's why we make a big deal out of Jesus. Because if Jesus had say-so as well in his life, Jesus could have said no, could have not chose to go to the cross, take on the sins of the world, could have chose easily not to do that. But he did, and that's why we sing so much praise, and that's why we talk so much about Jesus, and why our whole faith journey is centered around Jesus. Living a Jesus-centered life, following a Jesus-looking God. It's so imperative that we get that and that we understand that. So this first question is, are you saved? Requires some things. Requires for me to exercise my faith, and it requires me to repent from my sins. Return from the old life. So it's more than just standing up and saying, is there anybody here that doesn't know the Lord? If you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's much more than that. But this zap theology mentality, it runs rapid in Christian cultures. Because we grab a hold of that when we walk right out the door and we go live for our own self-interest. Nothing really changes. We just have this idea that we're saved now. We're going to spend eternal life. I can check that off my box. And I just go about living my life. And that's not the kingdom message. But that's a message that goes around in a lot of circles in life. And I think there'll be some heavy hearts when we get to that, you know, when it comes to the day, the end of their life, when they think that they are in right relationship with God and when they find out they're not. And so there's more to it. So that question is, are you saved? Is an important question, a really important question. And inside your bulletin, on the inside cover of your bulletin, is some really challenging reflection questions to reflect on as an individual, as a small group, as a couple, to really think about those questions in your own faith journey and not take your faith casually. Or take it for granted, because a lot of people do, I can promise you, big time. And so it's just really important, because of God's grace, prevenient grace in our life, giving us an invitation, pursuing us in our soul, our whole being, our whole life, trying to pull us towards him. But we have free will, we have say-so. You can call it the greatest gift, the greatest curse, however you want to refer to it, but we have it. But we, if we choose to exercise this faith and we choose to say, yes, be my Lord, then it calls for us to turn from our old ways. There's a choice to be made. I'm going to step out of the dark and I'm going to try to live in the light. I'm going to try my best to live a Jesus-centered life. And that requires some things on my part to do that. So question two, how do you know for sure if you're saved? Is it just because I got baptized as a child, or I got confirmation? I went to Sunday school. I went to a Christian school, maybe even a Christian college. I went to a Christian college, undergrad, grad degrees, a seminary. Does any of that make me saved? I mean, this is a really important question for believers of all walks of life to understand. So questions, your own personal reflection questions, is like, the reality is, if you're saved, if you've been transformed in your old life to a new life, then your new life, this new creation, old self, has been eradicated. You should look like something different than you've ever looked like before. There should be a radical change to your life. And so some great reflection questions you can reflect on in your own life. Does your life look like those living for their own self-interest? Does your life look just like everybody else's? Do you talk, think, feel, behave, and live for the same things most secular people live for? These are really important questions to look at. Because as a Christian living a Jesus-centered life, your life should look radically different in a lot of ways. We are to be in the world, of course, but not of it. Does your life look more like you're of it versus in it? And so this is really important things for us to think about. Are you committed to living a Jesus-centered life, dying to your own self-interest, and living solely for God's interest? So this is the calling Jesus has on our life. As we think about it on Memorial Day, And we honor those who have given their lives for our freedom so we can be here this morning, that we can do the things we're going to do this weekend, barbecue, go on trips, whatever. This freedom that we enjoy, we definitely take for granted, you know, in the West, for sure, compared to the rest of the world. People give up their lives so we can have that. But Jesus gave up his life, but in return he asked us to give up ours and to follow him. And this is where a disconnect happens a lot of times. It's like, thank you, Jesus, for saving my life. I'm out. I'm going to go do my own deal, live for my own self-interest, do whatever I'm going to do for this world. And if you look at those reflection questions inside your bulletin, referring to chapter 7 of Matthew, really, I think that's a serious question to reflect on in that scripture is what, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who show up that are going to say, well, I had the bumper sticker, I had the t-shirt, I said the words, I listened to Joy FM, I did all the things, I thought. And Jesus, like, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. See, this is a message you don't hear in circles where people just casually, just, you're saved, brother, you're saved, sister, you're saved. But what does that mean? And it should have depth and weight in your life. And if it doesn't, then this is where I challenge you to really look at your life. And it doesn't mean it's easy, but this is why you need a kingdom community around you. This is why you need to be a part of small groups and reading the Bible every day and having mentors to help you live out this Jesus-centered life. It's not easy. But it's the best life ever. Amen. It truly is the best way to live. It's and from my own personal experience. So question three. For what purpose were you saved? Jesus-centered people are transformed from takers to givers. I know many of you. I've been here for almost 2 years now. I know your hearts. I've lived in your life. I've been to your home. I watch how you live your life. You've definitely been transformed from a taker to a giver. But this is the evidence of that. There is fruit. Ephesians 2:14, you see that in your bulletin as well as a reflection question. Is there fruit in your life? Is there evidence, if you'd like? It shows you're living a Jesus-centered life. And if there's not, then don't go home and beat yourself up. Throw away the whipping stick, but be honest with yourself and then get encouraged and even seek wise counsel. What are the next steps on your spiritual journey? To start living the life you were called to live. Because there's a day and an hour that is going to come down to this time in your life. If you're an unbeliever, you'll be at the great white throne. But if you are a believer, you're going to be standing in front of Jesus. And as we've talked about in weeks prior to this, it's going to become a heart question. It's not, did you say the right words? Do you know how old the earth is? It's going to be about your heart. And how did you live out this kingdom life? And this is the questions we want to be thinking about. Jesus-centered people live other-centered lives. They're constantly thinking of others, including those coming behind them. So not just the people that are in the present, but those coming from behind, the generations to come. Look at it as you are a guardian of the kingdom. You're a preservationist, if you would, for the people coming behind you, for the church, for your community, for your family. It's a huge responsibility to be a steward, a Christian steward in your own life. But this is what we're called, each and every one of us, to carry this torch. It comes with a huge responsibility. Huge responsibility. Because it's easy not to worry about the people that are going to come behind you. Is this place even going to be here 10 years from now, 20 years from now? Or am I just concerned about today? This is, you know, Jesus-centered. We're thinking forward. You know, are we, you know, we're a link in the chain, every one of us. We're either a weak link or we're a very strong link. We want to be a strong link, friends. You know, but that inventory needs to happen. This inventory of how effective is my Christian walk? Not just as an individual, but as a body of Christ. How effective are we? Jesus-centered people lives are no longer living for worldly success, but living lives of significance. I'm going to show you a picture here in a minute. And this picture is graphic. It isn't bloody. It isn't gory. It isn't sexual. But it's definitely a graphic picture of what life looks like, friends. I could just literally take this picture and leave it there and just go sit down and let you reflect on this picture. And see how it grabs your heart. And have each one of you write what this picture says to you. But from a kingdom person living a Jesus-centered life, you know, versus worldly success versus significance, this story that goes with this picture is important. So I want to share this picture. Here it is. Just want you to sit with that picture for a minute. If you're online listening to this later, it'll be in the show notes of the link. It's a hard picture to look at. It's a hard picture for a lot of reasons to look at. But as kingdom people, It should speak to us very hard what it means to live for success or to live a life of significance. The guy who took this picture, his name was Kevin Carr. This picture, Time Magazine puts out the top pictures every decade. And then they had the top 100 pictures of all time. This is number 3 on their list. This picture right here. Number 3 most important, what they would call, picture of all time. The guy who took this picture, his name was Kevin Carter, knew the stench of death. He was right here in this place, a member of the Bang Bang Club, a quartet, if you would, of brave photographers at this point in time, who chronicled the apartheid in South Africa. He had seen more than his share of heartbreak, no doubt. In 1993, he flew to Sudan to photograph the famine raking this land. Exhausted after a day of taking pictures of the village of Aod, he headed out into the open bush. There he heard whimpering and came across the emaciated toddler, as you see here, who had collapsed on the way to the feeding center. As he took this child's picture, this plump vulture that you see in the back stood nearby. Carter had reportedly been advised not to touch any victims. Don't touch anybody, don't get involved with anybody because of disease. So instead of helping, he spent 20 minutes waiting, just waiting as this bird stalked this child, that this bird might open its wings at some point. He could get even a better picture of it. I want you to think about this whole scenario. Carter scared the creature away eventually and watched the child continue toward the center. He then lit a cigarette, he talked to God, and then he wept. The New York Times ran the photo, and readers were eager to find out what happened to the child, and they criticized Carter for not coming to the subject's aid. His image quickly became a wrenching case study and debate over the photographer's such intervene. Subsequent research revealed that this child did survive, yet at age 14 years later, died from malaria. Carter, I want you to hear this. This is the difference between living for success and living for significance. Carter went on to get a Pulitzer Prize for this photo. He won all kinds of awards and accolades for this photograph. But the darkness of that bright day never lifted from him. And in July 1994, he took his own life. And he wrote this, "I am haunted by the vivid memories of killings and corpses and anger and pain." He watched it straight in front of him. Success won out. Significance did not. And ended up costing everybody in the end. This photographer, had a chance to act, but he did nothing but try to shoo the bird away. And this vulture was, quickly behind this child waiting to devour it. But again, instead of living a life of significance, he chose success. And again, he went on to win the awards. It's something to live for, I guess. But I bet if he met Jesus, or when he meets Jesus, and Jesus, I'm sure, didn't congratulate him on his photograph. He didn't congratulate him on all his photography degrees or his high school degrees or his college degrees. And so this is what I want us to think about when we're living this Christian life, is that each of us as kingdom people have a chance to go out here and live for success, make all the money we can, have all the awesome cars, live in all the awesome houses, have second homes and boats and jet skis and on and on and on and on. We all got a chance to go do that stuff. We live in the greatest country in the world. We live 4 times better than anybody else in the world. We all have that privilege to do that. Or we can still do that, but make it move toward significance. Is my life making a difference in the world, in the kingdom of God? Am I living for significance or am I living for success? Kingdom people, Jesus-centered people, are living to make a difference in God's kingdom. So if you're sitting here today and you say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm asking you, I'm challenging you, is your life making a significant difference in the kingdom, or does your life just look like everybody else's in the world? It's an important question to ask because that is what we're called to do. It's more than just, hey, I'll pray for your brother, hey, I'll pray for your sister. Yes, we need to do those things. But we're called to walk shoulder to shoulder with people and help them, not just with charity, but with justice, whatever that looks like in your context. As we sit right here in this community, 2,500 people homeless in Jefferson County, 700 foster kid children, and we just partner with All for Family, who's here now, and I've seen a bunch of them here this week. And they bring them by the office, which is awesome, to introduce them. to watch them out here playing on the playground. It broke Susie's heart to watch the mother have to leave and the little kid crying, begging for him not to go. But this little thing we partner with is trying to make a significant difference in their lives. This is what we're called to do, is live a life of significance. If you're a kingdom brother or sister, if you are truly saved, then you've exercised your faith, you've repented from your sin, and you're living a life of significance, not just for your own personal success. That is the truth. That's what it means to live a kingdom-centered life, a Jesus-centered life. You can look at that vulture, and you can easily just visualize that. That is Satan trying to prey on every single person who's lost out there. Every single person, whether they're lost, just living for their own self-interest, life looks pretty good on the outside, seem to have it going on, but their soul is lost. What did Jesus say? What good does it do for you to gain the whole world if you're going to lose your soul at the end of the day? This is what our responsibility is, to invite people out of that space. People with addiction, people with gambling problems, people who are just hung up financially, people who are lost sexually, people who are caught in sex trade, people who are in domestic violence situations, on and on and on. And that's Satan just waiting to devour them in their tracks. John 10:10 says this, the thief enters only to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the enemy wants to do. Jesus says, I came so that they could have life. Indeed, so that they could live life to the fullest. So question four, how do you live a Jesus-centered life? Well, number one, understand, accept, and concede that God does the saving. You don't do the saving. You can't save yourself. You can't earn God's favor. You can't pray enough. You can't say, God, love me enough to get God to love you or save you any more than he's already had. Jesus done all that for you. But understand, number two, to understand, accept, and concede that humans do the exercising. We have to exercise our faith. We have to exercise repentance. It's up to us if we're going to turn from the old life and live a new life. Totally up to us. We have say-so. We have free will. Understand, accept, and concede that we are commissioned not to chase worldly success. Jesus said, be in the world, but don't be of it. But to live a life of significance. That's what Jesus meant by living life to the fullest. So we've been saved. Thank you, Jesus. Now Jesus is asking us to die to ourselves and go out and help other people to this life. Be invitational. Lead by example, but be invitational. And help them live life to the fullest by coming to know Jesus, but more importantly, become to live a Jesus-centered life. That is awesome. And that's what it means. That's what our calling is, friends. So wherever you're at in your spiritual journey this Memorial Day weekend, yes, give praise and honor and thanks to those who gave down their life and are out there still right now today, giving us the life and luxury that we live. By far, give Jesus all the honor and praise for salvation, but not only in heaven, but on earth as it is in heaven. But also take your faith seriously. Take this Jesus-centered walk seriously, not just as an individual, but as a church, as a community, as a family. Take it seriously. Does your life make a significant difference in the kingdom? And if it doesn't, then that's your commission when you leave here today. What are you going to do today that's going to make a big difference in how your life turns out and how the kingdom of God turns out? That's the commission on in each and every one of our lives. So with that, I want to invite the band back up as we get ready to sing. If you have questions, if you're listening online, you're listening to this message afterwards, or you're here in the audience and you have questions about today's message, feel free to email me. And we will get back to each and every one of you that reach out to us. We're going to pray now. I'm going to ask you all to stand, if you would, as we get ready to go out today. We're going to sing a song, God With Us. And God's more than that. He's not just with us, but he's in us. This is the gift from God. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which dwells deep down inside each and every one of us. So we have this advocate, this counselor, this friend that's with us every step of the way. 24/7, 365 days a year, we have access to this power if we engage it. And God encourages us to engage it. So I hope this weekend you really engage that power, tap into that source in a mighty way. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your message today. We thank you for TUMC and their kingdom people that are here on stage in the audience. We give praise for those who are online who are listening to this message after the fact. Lord, we just thank you for this life. We thank you for the chance of salvation, not just in heaven, but to have victory over the hurts, habits, and hang-ups, the sin that plagues us in this life, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, we have a chance to have victory over that. Amen. And so let us live into that. You commissioned us as kingdom people to live Jesus-centered lives. Come all the way in, sit all the way down, and stay on this committed journey to helping brothers and sisters. We are people helping people live Jesus-centered lives. Help us take that very seriously. Help that be the DNA of who we are, to live in this kingdom world and visit the secular world. Not live in the secular world and visit the kingdom. Help us get our priorities straight. Help us to be really concentrated this weekend on, does my life make a significant difference in the kingdom? And if not, Lord, we pray for the honesty and the open-mindedness and the willingness it will take for us to put our will in line with that, so we can make a significant difference inside our own families, inside our own lives, inside this church, our churches, our sister churches, our Hilltran ministries, if you would, in our community, in Jefferson County, in our state, in the world, through the globe, everything, Lord. We want to our lives to mean something, and mean something to you, not the world. So, Lord, we pray all this today, and we pray it boldly in your Son's name. And all God's people said, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hilltran United. Hilltran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hilltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app. Or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.